Okay, good evening. Thanks everyone for joining. There are a number of midrashim for Parshat Ki Tetzeh, a lot of which are focused on Amalek and things that we learn specifically from Amalek. They're not necessarily all Amalek centric, but they are things that we learn from that Parsha. This is the last few psukim in the Parsha after 74 mitzvahs. We just reconfirmed 74 mitzvahs in the Parsha. And remembering Amalek is one of them. And in fact, if you actually were to look quickly, there's actually two mitzvahs. One is we're supposed to destroy, there's three actually. Sorry, I should say there's three. There's a mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to Mitzrayim, the mitzvah to destroy the descendants of Amalek, and there's a mitzvah not to forget what Amalek did to us. So those are three of the 74 mitzvahs related to Amalek. And we'll look at a couple of midrashim related to that. But the Parsha of Amalek, so this is what we read on Shabbos Zachor. And a good halakhic pro tip, someone has to miss Shabbos Zachor for a particular reason. So they can make it up in Parsha Ki Tetzeh. But you have to remember, by the time you get to Parsha Ki Tetzeh, however many months or close to 6 months from Purim, or even we're just about 6 months out from Purim, so you have to remember that you need to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachor, and probably want the Baal Kobre to have it in mind as well. But Zachor Asher Asalecha Amalek, we're supposed to remember what Amalek did to us. That's the starting point. So Kach Patach Rabbi Tanhuma. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule. Whose movement must be curbed or muzzled by bit and bridle. In order that it not approach you. So it's using this pasuk in Tehillim to explain an aspect of what it means to remember, or the significance of remembering Amalek. So we're going to talk a little bit about horses for a minute. Okay. I'm not an animal person. I've never gone horseback riding, but we'll talk a little about horses, albeit in not the most flattering way. So, Shisha Dvarim Namru B'Sus. There's six things that are said about a horse. So, Ochel Harbe Motzi Kima, eats much and excretes little. So that's actually, those are not terrible things. Loves news. It loves promiscuity. Loves Milchama. It loves battle. Moeshena. It despises sleep. Translation actually reversed it. Reverse 5 and 6. It despises sleep. And that, itself is worth just talking about for a second. I'm not a great role model for getting sufficient sleep. I should sleep more than I do. I've had this problem for a while. I think something I've discovered about myself is that it's just very hard to wind down because there's always like something I want to do. And even when I think I'm like, winding down early, so by the time I, clean up the apartment a little bit and get just get myself ready for bed. Like an hour goes by and I'm like, I thought I was going to bed early. And I'm not. But on one hand, there's what to be said that a person's supposed to be mamisasmal divrei Torah, a person's supposed to be willing to sacrifice a little bit to learn Torah, and slichos season is coming up, and we sacrifice a little bit of sleep in order to say slichos. If you're Sephardi, then that began the first of Elul. But even for those of us who have to do it from the week before Rosh Hashanah until through Yom Kippur, up until Yom Kippur, you lose a little bit of sleep. And sometimes, Shavuos night, okay, so there's an excitement for staying up. And sometimes it happens in life that there's something going on and we don't go to sleep. But there's a lot of significance to getting sleep in a way that, first of all, it's important for our brains, and there's just a lot that talks about the way our brain functions. It can almost feel like if you're totally sleep deprived, it's like no better than driving under the influence. And that's not just about driving, but that's just about the way we function in life. And to be able to be a Ben Torah and to or to be a Bas Torah and to engage with the things that we need to do. So we need to have energy, and we need to be a present. So sometimes it's competition who can survive on the least amount of sleep. Some people really can sleep a few hours a night and still function. Although again, it's not so clear what that does to your brain. But the studies are very clear that so much of our mood and our productivity really depends on getting good sleep. So a horse despises sleep. It's also very haughty in its spirit. It also wants to kill its master in battle. And so if you're fighting on top of a horse, so not only do you have to worry about the guy that's coming with you with the sword, but you also have to worry about the horse not throwing you off. Okay. Never had that experience. So that's one application of this pasuk. Pasuk goes on to say, I'll tell you kisus keferet. I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, I'll tell you kisus keferet she'ein bahem bina. Do not be like a horse or a mule that does not have understanding. There's a phrase, I believe it's from the Yerushalmi, in das havdalah minayin. If you don't have knowledge, then you don't have wisdom, so how are you going to make distinctions? Being able to understand and to be able to make distinctions, to be able to analyze and to see the difference between things, that's something that's unique to human beings, and it's something that's really at the core of what it means to be Jewish. See in the Lachos of Kashrus that Kodesh Baruch Hu, after, and sometimes we say, oh, Kashrus is a chuk, we don't know why, we might not know why God didn't want us to eat certain species, but the notion of refraining from eating certain things, the Torah is very explicit that it's the havdil b'natameh v'tohar, to distinguish between pure and impure, and even to distinguish between holiness and secularity. So, and we say this, and we say havdalah every Shabbos. Hamavdil min kosher chol, to distinguish between holy and mundane, between or lechoshech, between light and darkness, ben Yisrael, I mean, between Jews and the rest of the nations. And that's something, especially today, that's very hard. So Rishami says, "I mean, das habel minayin. If you don't know things, then you can't make distinctions." So we're told by this medrash that we should not be like a horse and a mule and a mule. We have to be able to understand. So ma is kosher sus. What's a horse like? The person comes to feed the horse or to adorn it, to do things that are meant to be good for the horse. The bowling okim tavaro mevato. So you have to obstruct and you have to obstruct. You have to bend the neck a little bit in order to prevent the horse from taking you out. Because if you do anything that it sees as interference, even if it's good for it, so it might kick you because it doesn't realize that the food you're giving it is good and that you're doing certain, you're adorning it to make it to look nice. Doesn't realize that it feels something, so it doesn't distinguish between good and bad there. The chayna parrot also, same thing with the mule. Well, tem al tiyukin, don't be like this. So the good person should be repaid for his goodness accordingly, and the evil person should be repaid for their wickedness accordingly. The tava. So what are examples of this in a parsha? The tava tivute, to repay good for goodness. Lo titayv adomi ki achichahu. Do not despise the Edomite because he is your brother. Levisha bishte is a chord asher salcha amalek. To repay the bad for bad is to remember what Amalek did for us. So I want to actually go through the next medrash before I say anything more about this. But the core idea here is that unlike horses, as described in Sefer Tehillim, who can't distinguish when somebody's doing good for it and bad for it, it's just everything is an interference in something that's bad. But Jews are given the mandate to be able to tell that which is good and to act accordingly, and that which is bad and act accordingly. I think you get a similar idea in the next medrash as well. Zachor. It asher asal lecha, Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. So kan ketiv zachor. So here we have the command to remember. Shabbat ketiv zachor. With Shabbat also, it says, shnehem shavim. Both of them tell us that we're supposed to remember. We're supposed to remember Shabbat. We're supposed to remember Amalek. So again, if we go back on the last medrash, so on the one hand, both appear to be the same. And at the same time, they're very different because Shabbos is a very good thing. Shabbos is a positive thing. It's a wonderful mitzvah. Amalek, I mean, it's not that the mitzvah is bad, but Amalek is rooted in evil. So Amar Shlomo, Amarti Ani Belibi Kmikre Haksio Gam Ani Ikreni Velama Chachamti Ani Az Yoter. Reflected, the fate of the fool is also destined for me. To what advantage then have I been wise? Right, so are the fool and the wise exactly the same? Amarti Ki Ein Zichron L'Chacham Im Haksio Olam. Because the wise man is never remembered as a fool. So no. You might think, oh, you know, we all end up in the same place. So, you know, what difference does it make? No, the wise person is actually is going to remember it differently than the fool. So, Afal Pisha Kasa B'Shabbat Zachor, Malek Zachor Einan Shavim. The truth is, even though they both have the same word, they both have Zachor, Shabbos and Malek are two totally different things. Amar Shlomo, Kamikri Haksil, Gamani Ukraini. Shlomo said, the fate of the fool is also destined for me. Mashallah Mahadavar Dome. A king hosts a meal and he invites the guests. So there's a tray that has lots of wonderful food, wonderful delicacies. Make note of my friend X, who's a special person who I adore very much. And then when the tray's cleared, he says, remember, you know, why, who is my enemy? Amar lo avav, zeis karti, zeis karti. You mentioned both of these people. So Amar lahem, zeis karti, akar mali kol tuv. This person I mentioned by, you know, by the tray that's full of good things. But this person I mentioned over an empty tray. Maybe there's like a literal sense of you know, you're going to feed the person that you love in a certain way and somebody else in a different way. But there's still the symbolism that the full tray represents a person who's full of good midos and somebody who's an upstanding person. The empty tray is somebody who's does not deserve that. Comes to Shabbos. See, ba zachor is yom haShabbos l'kadosh. Remember Shabbat and keep it holy. So how do we remember Shabbos? We do it by eating and drinking and wearing nicer clothes. That's the full tray, and that's how we remember Shabbos. Amalek, see, Zachor is Asher Asal Chamalek. When it comes to Amalek, so Amat has Zachor. So how do you remember it? Al Shulchan Reikam. Remember it upon an empty table. Shnemar Timcha Zecher Amalek B'Tachas Hashemayim. So we're supposed to blot out Amalek. So we don't remember Amalek by having Allah. I mean, there's what to be said for the fact that that the Purim Suda is a tray full of great food. And the like, but that comes on the heels of defending ourselves from Amalek. But that's not the way we remember Amalek. In some ways, I guess, you know, it's interesting. We don't really make note of Amalek on Tisha B'Av, which, as I'm thinking about that right now, is kind of a curious thing. But obviously, when we remember bad events of Jewish history, so we fast on them, and there's a negativity associated with it, and we act accordingly. Right? As Shabbos, we bring out in ways that. That make us feel good and make us appreciate Shabbos, and we connect the physical and the spiritual. So, what's going on these two midrashim? So, first of all, I think this notion of zechira, of remembering. So, it's worthwhile to think about the way a memory is served, and we can have good memories. We could have bad memories. We're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, where one of the three brachos and Musaf, special brachos and Musaf, is Zichronos. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, to remember us for the good. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is going to look at everything we did, and it can all just kind of look like, you know, it can all get kind of mixed in together, and you can even, you know, look at the sum total of things. But on Kadosh Baruch Hu, to remember us for the good things. It requires a distinction. You have to be able to even recognize what's good and what's bad. It was interesting today in my teacher training. So we talked about we were talking about the book The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath, which is actually a book I read a number of years ago. And they talk about the importance of moments. Great example that they give is apparently there was a study done at Disney World once. People were at Disney World, and they were asked, instead of just asking at the end of Disney World, how was Disney World? Of course, everyone's going to say it was amazing. So they asked people to rate certain aspects of the experience as they were going through it. So when you look at the sum total of everything, so when you add up how they were feeling when they were standing on lines and when it was hot outside and when maybe the kids got in a little bit of a fight and Something wasn't going fast enough. Whatever it is. So even on like the best of those experiences, like just, you know, something like Disney World, there are bad moments, but then you come away from the experience and you're like, okay, like you remember, hopefully, in that kind of experience, you remember how fun Disney World was and the memories that you created and the beautiful and the moments and interacting with the characters and the rides. So you place the emphasis on the good parts, and you the things that were a little bit of a nuisance, you kind of let slide. And of course, that's a testament to the fact that overall it's a good experience, but that's the kind of distinction that we make with memory versus we could have experiences that are not as good, where maybe there are a few good moments, but the overall experience is negative. But being able to distinguish between, you know, those good experiences and those bad experiences, and how we let that form in our memory, is something that's important for the human being, and that's important on a religious level as well. That there's parts of our history that we remember in a positive way. There are other parts of history we remember in a negative way, and you know, the job of, you know, when something's negative, the job's not to sugarcoat it and to say that, but Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning. Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning. Purim, Pesach are days of celebration. We have to be able to make those distinctions and to be able to mark the right things at the right time. Sometimes there is a little bit of that confusion that either we make, you know, a happy holiday a little bit too somber. We make a somber holiday a little bit happy, but we need to have that awareness as we go through calendar and as we do mitzvahs, that should come in with the right mindset, should be able to distinguish between right and wrong. I think there's something else also to be said for the fact that, you know, the notion that zachor is used both in positive and the negative, that's there's we see this come up with midot as well. Like an example from the Torah. Very interesting example from the Torah is that it says by Avraham Avinu, Shkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham got up in the morning to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. In this case, it was a Kedas Yitzchak, which is, of course, there's a lot to unpack there. But fundamentally, Avraham was doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. He was doing the mitzvah. He got up with enthusiasm in the morning. So that's the same thing by Bilam, Shkem Bilam Baboker, to get on his donkey. So, Farshim note that. Okay, they both were by Yashkem Baboker, and they both had alacrity, but one did it for a good thing, one did it for a bad thing. And we look at this. I don't know if you've ever learned the Sefer Orchos Tzadikim. It's a great, one of my, it's a Musar Sefer I like a lot, because one of the features of it is that it goes through different midot, and with the exception of a couple where, you know, one extreme, like the Rambam says, is recommended. With those speedos, it says that there are good aspects to this and there's negative aspects to this. And that's really true of life in general. And something that we have to remember is that you know, the devil is always in the details. And you could say that, you know, pride. So pride is one of those things we're maybe supposed to err to the side of extreme. But there are moments for self-confidence. There's moments for being a little bit more. There's moments for being a little more meek. Moments to indulge, Shabbos Yom Tov to eat good food. There's moments that we're not supposed to. You know, go through all different midos, and part of the human experience, and especially part of what it means to be a Jew, is to be able to distinguish when's the right time for this and when's the wrong time for this. And I think also, just to bring this back a little bit to Amalek in particular, I think this is also important in the context of the story of Jewish history, and how we relate to all sorts of Hashkafic ideas, but also I think how we relate to anti-Semitism. That sometimes we have an I don't want to go into specific examples and details, because I can, you know, I don't want to get caught up in those examples. But there are moments where, you know, where we see a particular threat, but you have to have a little bit of wisdom to know how to respond to that threat, and not you know. It's interesting that you know, mentioned that we're not supposed to despise the Edomite because he's your brother. So you know, Edomim, you know, they didn't let us pass through. The Torah looks negatively on the Edomim, and it's Esav in the end. And yet, our response to Edom is not pure, you know, pure abhorrence. That's not the attitude we have to Edom. But when it comes to Amalek, we do have that abhorrence, because what Amalek did was much worse. And I think that's important in terms of the way we think of anti-Semitism, is that sometimes we really do have to distinguish between what are, you know, what's the threat at hand? What's the right way to respond to it? You know, what's the proportional way to react to it? What's the disproportionate way to react to it? You can't react to every situation the same. That's true in the way we, you know, deal with different people at, we'll encounter people in various contexts who we have issues with, but you have to deal with each person, each situation in a different manner. And the same thing could be true about certain Hashkafic ideas as well, is that, you know, you look at, you know, what are the threats I face Judaism today? So you can't respond to everything. You know, you have to have an awareness of the time and place and the way we reacted to a certain phenomenon in the 50s and 60s and, you know, in the 1900s, 1800s, maybe not the same way that we should react to it today. So again, I don't want to get lost in the details here, but what this Midrash is bringing out is the importance of being able to use wisdom to make distinctions and to know, you know, how, you know, first of all, of course, to have the right Hakar Satov, you know, in the right moments, and to not give Hakar Satov to people who shouldn't give Hakar Satov to, and, you know, have to be able to distinguish between friends and enemies. It's like one aspect of this. Some people say that the notion of getting a worldly education today, so it's not for every Jew, and maybe you know, to be able to devote both attention to Torah and to secular studies is problematic today. But the truth is, I think a person needs both a Torah knowledge and a worldly knowledge in order to be able to really understand the way Jew relates to in this world. You need to understand the Jewish aspect of how to relate to Judaism today. But a person also needs to, you know, I think the worldly skills that we gain by exploring other disciplines helps us give the sort of the nuance of how do we navigate the world to this day, right? So we need Bina. We need that understanding that the Sus doesn't have in order to be able to navigate the challenges of the world. So this, of course, you know, means that we have to deal with things with nuance and with thoughtfulness. And I think it's an important idea that emerges from this. I'll end with one midrash very quickly, also related to Amalek, but has a nice message as well. So Zachor Asher Asa Lecha Amalek B'Derech Yetzeichem Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you when we went from Egypt. Rabina Batach Mosnei Mirmam Tov At Hashem. The scales, the fraudulent scales, are an abomination to Hashem. Okay, that's a pasuk in Mishlei. So Im Ra'ita Dor Shmido Tav Sheker. If you see generation whose measures are false, know that the government's going to come out against that, is going to deal harsh with that generation. Matam, what's the reason for that? It's a pure abomination to be deceitful in business dealings. When deliberate wickedness comes, disgrace comes as well. So Rabbi Brachia, b'shem Rabbi Abba, Amar, Rabbi Brachia, b'shem Rabbi Abba, Bar Kahana, Amar, ha'eskev mozei resha v'chis avnei mirma. Shall I be righteous, successful with false scales? Obviously, a rhetorical question. Asher dor shemido tav sheker, a generation that is deceitful in its, you know, in its dealings. Shuzaka, is it possible to have a generation who acts like this and that they're going to come out innocently? To have false stones in their pockets. We're told not to do that. So Amar Rabbi Levi, Moshe Mazala Habatara. Moshe explained this in the Torah. Shenemar lo yelecha bekischa evan ve'evan. A person, should have alternate weights in their bag, in their pocket, you know, larger, smaller. Lo yelecha ve'itcha. You're not supposed to have in your house. So Matam, what's the reason for this? Kitovat Hashem, because this is the abomination to Hashem. So Makti Bacharav. So what's written after we're told not to have dishonest weights and measures? What comes right after that? Zachor Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. So this is not to say that you know, every calamity can be explained by, you know, X, Y, and Z. And again, I think we always have to be careful about that. But the Torah makes a point of saying that that, you know, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to protect us, and what Amalek did was obviously was evil, and we're to the point where we're told to obliterate Amalek. So we're not excusing what Amalek did in the slightest. In fact, we're told to, you know, we're told to deal with it accordingly and to entirely destroy Amalek. At the same time, we have to take responsibility that we can't be like Amalek, and we can't be like stone, but for us to survive as the Jewish people and to thrive as the Jewish people, so we have to do the right thing. There's something important to be said for the fact that that it's extremely important that we live up to our morals and our standards, because that's why we're here. Jewish people don't serve a purpose if we're not an orla koyim, and we're not serving as an example of what it means to be a mensch, to make a kiddush Hashem. So what are we doing here? It's not to invite the enemy, but at the same time we have that tremendous responsibility to make sure that we act in ways that are pleasing to Hashem and pleasing to other people. And with that, that's where the Torah says, "Aman yiburi mechem v'mepnechem al dama." Asher nishpala Hashem alotechem tehem kimeshem al haaretz. It's not this parsha, but the notion is still true that that by following the tzitzis in the Torah, so that's what leads to the longevity of the Jewish people, both in terms of our progeny and in terms of our being able to be in Eretz Israel. And that's the hope that we have. Have a great week, everyone.